is a presentation of KSL Sports. Hello, Cougar Nation.
Who's open for three? Angle left takes it and makes it. Fusene Traore. And listen to the Cougar Nation.
Every Monday night, we break down the last week of BYU basketball and look ahead to the Cougars' prospects for the postseason. Cougar Nation. Here's BYU insider Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte on Utah's legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Good evening, Cougar Nation, and welcome on into your show, Cougar Nation. Make sure to call in 801-575-8255 over the next hour. We'll be taking your phone calls to discuss all things BYU basketball. And joining me, as always, my Cougar Nation co-host and Cougar Sports Saturday co-host, Matt Biamonte. It's a good week for the Cougars, Matt, as they got a split, but they're trending up in the AP Top 25 poll.
It was nice to see them go up in that poll, Mitch. That kind of caught me by surprise that they jumped up to 19 after beating an unranked Kansas State. But I think that shows the quality and respect of the Big 12, that even going 1-1 against unranked teams, there is still tremendous value in this conference.
I'm with you. I was stunned that they moved up two spots today because I thought, honestly, they were going to maybe be 24, 25, or even slip out. But the perks of being in the best conference in America has its benefits, and BYU moves up to number 19. And BYU navigating its first year in the Big 12 Conference is our question of the day. What's been your biggest takeaway through the first 10 games of BYU's first year in the Big 12? You can weigh in, 801-575-8255. Let's dive into our takeaways from this Big 12 schedule and BYU's win over Kansas State.
Cougar Nation, takeaways. Mitch and Matt analyze BYU's last week of play and what it means for the next week.
BYU takes down Kansas State on Saturday night, 72-66. Outstanding crowd at the Marriott Center, Matt. You pointed it out to me and Nate Slack, our producer here of Cougar Nation. It was probably the best pregame atmosphere we've seen during the Big 12 schedule at home this season.
I wonder if it was the late tip that helped people get there on time or what, but it really did feel like that was the best presence prior to tip-off that BYU's had in Big 12 play. The crowd was sensational, and it had maybe the best moment of the season so far with that kid that munched down the cougar tail. That thing that was amazing, Mitch.
That was truly remarkable, and I'd like to think that that helped. That video I shared helped make that kid go viral. His dad gave me an update today. I got in touch with him, and he reached out to me and said that his son was the hit of Deacon's Quorum. So I'm happy yes. that happened for him, and he's enjoying life as the Cougar Tail kid. But that was a lot of fun. We even saw Joe Flacco, NFL Comeback Player of the Year. It was an eventful night, and BYU basketball added to the eventfulness of the evening as they took down K-State 72-66. And, Matt, they were rolling, BYU was. They were up to a 17-point lead at one point. They let it dwindle all the way down to 2 points. But despite the second-half lull to allow K-State to get back into it, Mark Pope was pretty happy with the way his team played in that second half to close out the game.
The flow of the game affected us down the stretch, but the guys fought hard enough to just keep going and keep going. Like, hey, this is what we do. We're getting all the stuff we want. This is how we want it. This is where we want it. We know occasionally things don't go in, but it's gonna go in next. You know, we're gonna make a great play next. We're gonna get another stop next. And so, I loved the finish of the game. I think it'll continue to help our guys' confidence grow, in the sense of like just keep pushing forward.
You buying that, Matt?
Absolutely. That was my biggest takeaway from the game, Mitch, is that BYU did not play well. They had another second-half struggle. They were out-rebounded by 8. They only made 8 threes, shooting 32%. They were outscored in the paint. There were a lot of things that did not go their way in this game. They were horrible from the free-throw line, sub-50%, and yet they found a way to win. They've played much better than this and lost games in the Big 12. They found a way to win. And that's what you got to do when you're playing some of the best in the conference. Find a way to win. That's exactly what they did.
K-State's Arthur Kaluma had a big game. He had 18 points. If you remember him, he was at Creighton last year and went off for a career high against BYU, 27 points. He was a heck of a player. But I got to say, too, to add to your point, Matt, it's nice that BYU was underwhelming. They still came away with a win. And they took down a program like Kansas State, who's had recent NCAA tournament success. They were an Elite Eight team last year. And it kind of feels like, yeah, BYU did what they're supposed to do. That's the nice thing about, again, being in the Big 12 Conference, where you move up in the AP Top 25, one, that's great. And then two, you have a win over a team like Kansas State, and the fan base is like, okay, on to the next one. In years gone by, these opportunities against a Kansas State would have been celebrated as one of the great wins of all time because of the name on the front of the jersey. But being in this conference, you get so many opportunities to play quality teams. It's just, again, a fun journey being in the Big 12 Conference and seeing BYU as they improve to 5-5 in Big 12 play. Takeaway number two, Matt, this was a positive development that I don't know if many people thought was going to actually materialize at any point this season in Big 12 play. That was the emergence of Trey Stewart. He gave BYU some valuable minutes off the bench, and this was Mark Pope after the game on Trey giving BYU a spark.
I was really proud of Trey. You know, he's been increasingly bringing unbelievable energy to our practices and our locker room, and playing great in practice and working hard. And his minutes were really, really important tonight. And he played a huge role in this win, and I'm really proud of him and happy for him. And it's awesome to watch guys grow, man. It really is. It's pretty special to watch guys grow.
Trey Stewart had an impact in his 9 minutes played. 4 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and most importantly, no turnovers when he was running the backup point guard job when Dallin Hall got a breather. Those are 9 valuable minutes. And if he can continue to give you 7 to 8 to 9 minutes, play good D, he had a great effort-based steal, that's exactly what this team needs. Because those backup point guard minutes behind Dallin Hall, it's been hard to find success there. If Trey Stewart can hold it down for 7, 8, or 9 minutes like he did against Kansas State, that will help this team as they get deeper into conference play.
It was great to see. And Trey's been performing well in practice. Back on Thursday, you know, he had, one of his best practices that I've seen from him this season. And I thought to myself, maybe there's a chance he could play. But then I thought, it's just not going to happen. He hadn't played since January 9th at Baylor, and that was a brief cameo appearance. I mean, to the point where Mark Pope was saying maybe the best backup point guard to Dallin Hall was Ali Khalifa. And he thought, this is never going to happen again for Trey, but he kept battling, and he gave BYU a nice spark. I thought that was huge for him to have success early in his minutes, because had he suffered a few turnovers or maybe committed a few fouls, it kind of gone south for him. And now you feel like if he can play and give BYU 8 to 10 minutes a game, that just does a world of good for BYU and its depth. As in that win over Kansas State, Matt, Mark Pope reshuffled the starting five. Ali Khalifa returned from the illness, and he changed up the starting five. And that's takeaway number three. I liked that starting five change that went with Dallin Hall at the point guard. You had Spencer Johnson at the two, Trevin Nell at the three, Noel Waterman at the four, Ali Khalifa at the five, and then coming off the bench, Jackson Robinson and Fusini Traore and Richie Saunders. That's quite the eight-man rotation for BYU.
That was a really nice move, and I think the reason it needed to be made is Trevin Nell was giving you next to nothing off the bench. I know he got banged up against UCF, but it really felt like the starting version of Trevin Nell was a really high-level player, a great shooter that provided a ton of value on both ends of the floor. The bench version of Trevin Nell was nowhere near the starting level of Trevin Nell. But Jackson Robinson and Fush Traore, Mitch, had already proven they can be impactful and effective regardless of whether they start. And so I like putting Nell back into a situation where he's comfortable. He ends up with 10 points. If you can get 10 from Nell as a starter and then you still get the double digits from Robinson and Traore, that's the world you want to live in. That's the world BYU has to be in if they want to have success in the NCAA tournament. I really like the move, like just like you did.
We're taking your phone calls here on Cougar Nation, 801-575-8255. We're taking a break. We'll get to the question of our thoughts on BYU's first 10 games and what surprised us in Big 12 play coming up next here on Cougar Nation.
BYU fans, join me, Tim Hughes, and Amanda Dixon for stories that affect our jobs, taxes, and families. Utah's Morning News, each morning between 5 and 9 on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in. It's Cougar Nation. We're breaking down the win over Kansas State, and a little later in this hour, we'll take a look ahead at tomorrow night's game as the Cougars host the UCF Knights, their first repeat performance in Big 12 conference play. But right now, we want to get to the question of the day and to your phone calls. You can call in at 801-575-8255. Give us your thoughts on the win, or you can answer this question. What has been the biggest surprise to you during BYU's first 10 games in Big 12 play? Mitch, right now, let's get out to the phone line. We'll start with our dear friend, Linda. We hear from her every week. Linda, how are you doing today?
I'm doing real good. Thanks. Appreciate it.
What do you want to talk about?
I wanted to talk about the game the other night. It was wonderful, I thought. And I was so proud of Foose that he scored all those points. And then at the end, I was so proud of Jackson Robinson for hitting that shot at the end. I was so panicked when we were only leading by 2 points.
Lots of panic, Linda. But that's what I loved about the win, is that even though things went south in a lot of the second halves, including that Kansas State one, some of those times BYU had lost those games. This time they found a way to win, Mitch, and that's what you got to do. I think this team is still figuring out at the end of games where they go to. Jackson Robinson makes a big shot. They did a great job in that last minute of executing to get that win.
They did, and you know, Jackson Robinson's shot was in a, you know, six-man role, and BYU was only up 2, and he buries the 3. This was Jack's after the game on what transpired with that game-clinching 3-pointer late in the game.
I mean, it was just kind of a stagger screen. I came off, was just aggressive, looking for my shot, and I just let it go, and it went in.
After Jack said that, Mark Pope's like, just went in. Like, just nonchalant, just knocking down a big 3 in a Big 12 game. That's what Jackson Robinson's been doing for BYU, and he continues, Matt, to get first-round, you know, NBA draft buzz potentially. It's kind of interesting. It's hard to wrap your mind around because BYU and the NBA, there's not much synergy between those two entities. But maybe Jackson Robinson is the guy that breaks the mold and gets BYU back into the NBA conversation as a draft pick this next June. Let's get back out to the phone line and continue with your phone calls, 801-575-8255. Let's bring on Michael from Texas. You want to answer this question of the day, Michael?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. I think for me, this season has been interesting in terms of, like, I actually was kind of expecting us to do better than we thought. And I think because, you know, at the end of the day, 18 to 24-year-olds are 18 to 24-year-olds, and you just think about the excitement of playing in a league like this can help your focus and help you be, you know, help your intensity. I always say with football and basketball, we underrate some of these no-name schools, how hard it is to beat them consistently. It's a grind to, like, have to really be intense and focused for a Pepperdine every week or a Pacific. And they have some good players that can knock down shots, and that's the college game is getting baskets. So I'm not too surprised by that. I think what I am surprised is two things just from a team perspective. The defense BYU plays is very surprising in terms of, I don't think I've ever seen a BYU defense this cohesive ever. I haven't been following my whole life. I'm a recent BYU fan, but I'm just shocked. I'm shocked at how good the defense is. And then on the offensive end, I think the thing that surprises me is that we have an answer for everything against anyone in the country. Like, we have an answer if they want to cover our three-point shooters. We have an answer if they want to double the post. We have an answer if they want to try to take out our best player. We have an answer for every single thing someone can shoot at us. So I think those are the most surprising things to me. But it's been a great year and exciting for the boys.
Michael, when did you become a BYU fan?
Yeah, it's interesting. So I actually I covered BYU for the paper when I was at BYU, and I covered during Jimmer's first year. And I actually called the office to interview Jimmer, and I think it was Kyle Chilton at the time told me, he said, Jimmer's getting calls from Sports Illustrated. I don't know if he's really going to want to talk to the school paper. And I said, okay. And then he called me back 2 minutes later, and he said, Jimmer will give you an hour tomorrow. And ever since then, I started to you know, I really liked him and started to follow the team. And then I was like, wow, you know, maybe I can get into BYU sports. So started around then.
Well, Michael, appreciate the call and the insight. And I think, you know, to your point, since that time with Jimmer, you're right. Defensively, this is far and away the best BYU defense that BYU's had in that stretch. Because I can think back to some Steve Cleveland teams in the Mountain West era where, you know, they were consistently holding teams to about 55, 60 a game. But that was kind of the calling card of college basketball back then. This group, the way they're performing and their cohesiveness, as you noted, I think you're right. It's been a defensive it's been impressive to watch defensively. And, Matt, I think that, you know, BYU, they are very underrated defensively, top 25 in the KenPom adjusted defensive metrics, and that offense always finds new guys every single night to emerge and put BYU in a position to win games.
They defend the three ball well, Mitch. They held Kansas State to 26%. They had 9 steals in the win against the Wildcats as well. On the perimeter, I think they're really underrated. Spencer Johnson, a great defender. Trevin Nell improved as a defender. So, yeah, I think it's a good point defensively. This team has stepped it up. Back to the phone line, Mitch. Dan from Layton. What do you got for us, Dan?
Hey, I have a question, actually. I've been curious about this on their lineup and on their the way they've been playing with Foose and Khalifa both. Now that Foose is back 100% more, has Mark Pope ever addressed, not that I've heard anyway, has he ever addressed playing them both together, playing Khalifa at the high post and let Foose run the baseline and open up the threes, get a little bit more open on the outside?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dan. He has addressed that. You know, Mark did know, Coach Pope said that they've only had 3 practices this year where they've been able to have Khalifa and Foose on the floor together, because it's been unusual how when one is in the lineup in practice, the other has been dealing with an injury or an illness. Beginning of the season, Khalifa was dealing with a knee injury. And then Khalifa comes back, Foose goes out with a hamstring, and then Foose returns, Khalifa goes out with an illness. I think it's a good point, because Mark Pope wants to get these two on the floor together. And it's kind of a, you know, pick your poison situation. If those two are on the floor, what they could possibly do and open up on the offensive end, it would be fascinating to see. But for right now, I think you're going to go with probably the same starting five tomorrow against UCF. But what I do like, Matt, is that, you know, BYU has built up a rotation to where you've got 8 guys on any given night that could start. And Mark Pope has hinted at the ability to reinvent yourself in this conference in certain matchups. They're having that luxury with the type of personnel they've developed this season.
I will say, though, Mitch, with the Kansas game looming, and the Jayhawks, they're not as good as everyone thought they were going to be. They're still a good team. They are beatable, but they are big, especially with Hunter Dickinson. I'd love to see this Khalifa Foose Traore lineup a few times before then see if that's something you can roll out if needed against a big Jayhawk team.
We got to take a break. Keep the phone lines rolling here. 801-575-8255. After the break, we'll get to what's trending up and trending down in BYU basketball. We'll hit on some of your texts, your tweets, and your phone calls. 801-575-8255. News, traffic, and weather coming up, and then we'll get to more of your phone calls right here on Cougar Nation on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.
Just like Cougar fans come together for BYU basketball, the community gathers around KSL each morning for important news. Listen tomorrow between 5 and 9 to KSL News Radio.
Welcome back into Cougar Nation here on KSL News Radio. Mitch Harper and Matt Biamonte with you up until 7 o'clock. We're taking your phone calls, 801-575-8255, talking all things BYU basketball. The question of the day today, what's been the biggest surprise to you, Cougar Nation, through BYU's first 10 games in Big 12 play? What's kind of surprised you the most? We'll get your thoughts and your reaction and here on the show. What's been the biggest surprise to you, Matt?
That they have 5 wins. I mean, this is the Big 12, Mitch. And the thing that's crazy is they probably should have 7 or 8 out of the first 10. And this is the best league in basketball and has been for a number of years. I don't think anyone, even the blue-goggled Cougar fans out there, couldn't have expected this. A team that struggled in their final year in the WCC jumps up to the Big 12 and is in the upper half of the league and is competing with ranked teams on a nightly basis. That is shocking, Mitch.
Yeah, it's been such a fun thing to see BYU having this success. And now my biggest surprise, and let me just preface this by saying the Big 12 is hands down the best league in America. I'm writing a piece right now that will publish tonight, getting ready for tomorrow's game against UCF, that this is the best league. They didn't game the system. Even Mark Pope talked about that in the media session. But I am a little bit surprised, Matt, that this league isn't as top-end difficult as I was maybe expecting. I thought the Kansases, the Houstons, the Baylors would just be downright untouchable. And look, BYU hasn't beat those teams yet. They lost to Baylor. They lost to Houston. But BYU looked like they belonged. And maybe is it a case of BYU is what the advanced metrics have said all along, that they are one of the elite teams in college basketball? I don't know yet. Because maybe I'm just struggling mentally to compute that BYU might be one of the best teams in college basketball this year. But I didn't see BYU against Houston get outclassed. And that's kind of surprised me, because I thought Houston would be the type of team that would roll into Provo and just, you know, outman BYU. But that hasn't been the case. And BYU looks like they belong. And I think that's been a surprise to me. What about you? What would you agree with that? That it's been surprising the top end of this league hasn't been maybe as good as we thought?
Maybe a little bit, but I also feel like there aren't great teams in college basketball anymore.
True.
And it's been that way for a number of years. That's how a San Diego State can make a run to the national championship game, because there's not three or four juggernaut teams. I prefer this, personally, rather than the old days of a great Duke team or a great North Carolina team or even a great Kansas team that you felt like, okay, they're just going to roll through and get to the Final Four. That's not the case right now, and I think it makes the tournament a lot more fun, knowing it's wide open to double-digit number of teams rather than three or four.
Here's a thought, too, and this just kind of popped in my head. So this is a little bit off the cuff, Matt, but is the journey in college basketball a little more fun than college football? And I ask that because I just feel like everyone's got everything in front of them. Any team in all of college basketball, they feel like they can go win something and play for something big. And I know college football is going to have a 12-team playoff starting this year, and that's exciting. I can't wait to see that, because the winner of the Big 12 will likely play in that thing. And I feel like, not likely, they will play in that thing. But that's one thing I do love about college basketball, is everyone still feels like they're dreaming of something big. And you almost wonder long-term if, you know, with how the shift in these sports and the power structure of the leagues, you wonder if, you know, BYU playing in the best league year after year in hoops, do we ever see a day where, you know, BYU basketball takes on the fan interest to the level of BYU football? I don't know. I just kind of wonder long term.
The only devil's advocate point to that, Mitch, and I don't think you're wrong, the fact that there's more teams, especially now than in previous years in college basketball, that have a chance to make a deep run in the tournament, it makes the season a lot of fun to follow. However, nobody can do it like college football in terms of the energy on a Saturday. It's just the urgency, the energy, it's unmatched. Not even the NFL has that. And I think that's why college football is so popular and the playoffs going to be great. There aren't singular games in college hoops that you can't sleep the night before because the game is so exciting like college football.
Producer Nate, is this accurate? Am I seeing this right now on the phone line? You talk about energy. Let's get out of the phone line. 801-575-8255. Am I reading this right? This is Beckham, the Cougar Tail King. Beckham, you're on KSL News Radio.
Yeah, that's me.
Beckham, what's up, man? So you are the kid that devoured the Cougar Tail.
Yeah, I'm the one who ate it.
How's life treating you, man?
Pretty good.
What's on your mind?
That I'm on this.
What's your take?
Beckham, hey, Beckham, I got to ask this. Did you know you were going to do that before the game began, or was it just spur of the moment? I'm on the board. I got a cougar tail. I'm throwing it down.
So what actually happened is I was talking to my dad, and so I'm like, if I get on the Jumbotron, I'm just going to eat my cougar tail as fast as I can.
You did a fantastic job, man. I appreciate the call. So life's been good ever since. Has it been a whirlwind?
Yep.
You going to do it tomorrow? You going to be at the game devouring another cougar tail?
my dad lets me go to the game, I'm going to do it.
Yes, get Beckham on the board tomorrow. Let's go.
We need Beckham to become what, you know, the Buffalo Bills have that ketchup and mustard guy. Beckham needs to be the iconic Cougar Tail BYU fan. We need that now. Thanks for the call, Beckham. Hope you're doing good, man. Appreciate it. Keep in touch. 801-575-8255. You can get to your phone calls here throughout the show because this is the show for you, Cougar Nation. Matt, let's get to what's trending up and trending down with this BYU basketball team coming out of that win over Kansas State.
Cougar Nation, trending. What's trending up and what's trending down this season?
It wasn't all good, Mitch, for BYU basketball, so let's start with the trending down, then we'll end on a high note with trending up. Trending down for me, free throw shooting. My goodness, if they had just made 70% of their free throws, the game would have never been in doubt. And unfortunately, margin of victory plays a role in the net, and it's going to play a role in your seed line as well come NCAA tournament time. So there was a great opportunity here to have another double-digit Big 12 win, and because of the second-half lapse and then the poor free throw shooting, that didn't happen. They haven't made 80% or more of their free throws since they beat Texas. That's three games in a row, sub 80%. And 80% is not even elite. That's 90%. Yeah. We're just talking a B. Think about that. If you are a student at school, can you just get a B on the test? No, I can't. I can only get C's, D's, and F's. Like, the free throw shooting, it's got to improve, Mitch.
It was pretty sad that Austin Colley, a former BYU football player, had a better percentage from the free throw line in that contest against Dennis Pitta during a timeout than BYU's team. They got to get better on that free throw line. Here's what's trending down for me. BYU's performances in the second half. That was one of the downsides this past week. You know, last week we had a caller call in and say, hey, are the concerns in the second half out of sight and out of mind? And I profoundly said, yes, they are okay. They're in the clear. Nope, not so fast. BYU was outscored in both halves against Oklahoma and Kansas State. And K-State head coach Jerome Tang gave a little glimpse into, hey, maybe this is why the way BYU plays lends itself to these second-half collapses.
We said this was going to be a 15-round fight, right? And it didn't matter how big of a lead they had. They let you back in the game because of the way they play.
That was from Jerome Tang, and can't argue with that. The way that BYU does play as a jump shooting team, it will give opportunities for the opponent to get back into it. What's trending up for you, Matt?
Trending up for me, Mitch, and this kind of coincides with our takeaway at the top of the show, the starting lineup change, bench points back to 30 points. When BYU was killing people in non-conference play, they were the top team in the country in bench points. Now, injuries and illness, it forced starting lineup changes. This is not a situation where this coaching staff led by Mark Pope wants to be consistently changing things up. That's just how it's been, and it's been unfortunate in that regard. But I like, by moving Foose and Jackson back to the bench, you're going to increase bench points. You're going to open opportunity for the starters to get going. Noah Waterman, notably, 11 points. Trevin Nell, 10 in the starting role. And then at the end of the game, you'll get the best players on the floor, and they'll do their thing. But it was nice to see bench points ticking back up.
Great pick. And for me, trending up is the front court. I thought they outplayed Kansas State for the first 35 minutes until K-State made their run. But I thought Khalifa, I thought Foose, both of which got 20 minutes each. Both those players played great, and think that Atiki Aliatiki, who's given BYU some good games this year, is the third guy and not in the rotation right now because of how deep they're going. BYU's in a good spot there, and Noah Waterman's still giving them good minutes as he works his way back from the illness that he's dealt with. So I think that front court is on its way up, Matt, as March is peeking around the corner.
All right, Mitch, let's take another break. We're not done taking your calls, though. But we got one more segment to go. 801-575-8255. Would love to hear more of BYU fans' thoughts on what's been the biggest surprise to you, Cougar Nation, during the BYU's first 10 games in Big 12 play. We'll keep taking your calls, and we'll do a quick look ahead to a battle against UCF tomorrow night. It's Cougar Nation right here on KSL News Radio.
Make sure you have the KSL News Radio app to stream BYU games wherever you go. You can also get breaking news alerts and podcast your favorite KSL show, all on one app for KSL News Radio.
Welcome back in, Cougar Nation, the final segment, breaking down the win against Kansas State, and we'll look ahead to the game tomorrow night against UCF. Man, Mitch, how big was that win, the Kansas State win in your eyes? Is that just a nice win, or did that have some significance to it?
I think they're all big in the Big 12, and I know that might be a cop-out answer, but I do think that was important just to, you know, get back in the win column, put all the bad vibes from that Oklahoma loss, because that was ugly. The way BYU played in Norman, losing by 16, and it felt like they were tired, they were sick, and just to get back in the win column against a K-State team that had beat Kansas. And I just thought that was just kind of a feel-good game and speaks to how BYU basketball has elevated its program by just, you know, going through the grind of the Big 12. I mean, a year ago, Matt, I think everyone in Cougar Nation was feeling, man, if you can't win in the WCC, this is going to be a bloodbath in the Big 12. And through 10 games, they're 5-5, and everything is in front of them in the NCAA tournament, probably a 5 or a 6 seed. It's exciting. And to have the excitement of the chase of March Madness in front of BYU as an at-large team, that's awesome. And that's all you can ask for going into this first year where expectations were so low. No one in that building, though, Mark Pope and the team, had low expectations. They always believed they could do something more. But all of Cougar Nation, I think, has been pretty impressed with the way this team's played.
Mitch, let's turn the page to UCF tomorrow night, 7 p.m. It's an ESPN Plus game. You can hear it right here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio. UCF is coming to Provo. They just lost to Texas Tech. And the UCF is learning a tough lesson, Mitch. It's called karma. They did the horns down, and it's been a bit of a tailspin since then. Lost 3 of 4, 4 of 6. So maybe, look, it was a little frustrating when BYU administration got in the way and got those students to change their shirts, but maybe it was for the best because the team that started it is in a tailspin, Mitch.
That is true. And did you see after they beat Oklahoma 2 weeks ago in Orlando, they just had a random sign that said horns down in the student section. So they've leaned in to horns down, and you're right, it's kind of backfired for UCF. But I will say, this is one of the best defensive teams in the Big 12 Conference. A personnel tidbit to watch, though, leading up to tip-off with UCF, is their center. Remember, this is the first repeat game for BYU in the Big 12. They'll have 5 teams in the conference this year that they have 2 meetings against. They played UCF previously back on January 13th in Orlando, and the big guy for UCF, number 11, Ibrahima Diallo, he's the best shot blocker in the Big 12. He didn't play against Texas Tech this past Saturday in Lubbock. He's dealing with a knee injury. If he doesn't go, that helps BYU's chances a lot to defend home court and win comfortably. Because this would be the type of game too, Matt, where in an ideal world, you win by double digits, and we know that the KenPom and the net ratings, they love a good blowout, and that can elevate your numbers and your resume for seeding purposes down the road in March.
Does this feel a little bit like the Cincinnati game in terms of there's a banged-up big man, you don't know what's going to happen, and then is Diallo just going to show up and have a career night like Azeez Bandango did earlier in the year?
It could happen. I mean, we've seen it all the time in the Big 12. These teams can rise up on out of nowhere and put together a great performance. I don't think UCF offensively, though, is as potent as, say, a Cincinnati or other teams in this league. I think UCF, honestly, is probably the worst offense in the Big 12. I mean, UCF, we talked about BYU's struggles at the free throw line. Remember in that game in Orlando, UCF was awful against BYU. I think they were sub 50% in that game against the Cougars. Had they just shot a respectable percentage, they probably beat BYU in Orlando. So this team will lock you up defensively. And I think that's going to be kind of the interesting chess match here. They're coached by Johnny Dawkins, a former Dukie who worked with Mike Krzyzewski. He's very familiar with, he's a well-known name in college basketball. he's going to have his team ready. I expect that. They got a good team, too. They've got good talent. But I just think offensively, I don't think they can keep up with BYU. And I think BYU at home can overwhelm UCF's defense. But they looked respectable against Texas Tech. They went down to the wire. I mean, it was a close game. They never led against Texas Tech, but they made Texas Tech work for a full 40 minutes in Lubbock. So this will not be any easy task, but it is a game that BYU should win. And if they are the team that many believe they are, being a number 19 team in the country, they should win comfortably.
They should. And not to get too ahead of ourselves here, Mitch, but then you look ahead to the next two also winnable games. You go on the road at Oklahoma State, that you should win that game. And then you come home and play Baylor. And that game against Baylor on the road was close. You come home, it's a loud and wild crowd. What?
Ooh, I don't know if I'm ready to say Baylor would
be
a win.
You just told us earlier in the show that no one's great in this conference. Well, and that the top dogs are not as good as you thought. You can't win. You can beat Baylor home?
I think they will be favored, but that's just still mentally I'm struggling to wrap my mind. Maybe I'm just having flashbacks to Perry Jones III beating Matty Carlino.
You are having flashbacks. Did you like how Jerome Tang mentioned that game too in his postgame presser? That was a deep cut.
Oh, yeah.
Because Jerome Tang was with Baylor back when Carlino nearly took them down earlier in the 2010s.
I love a good deep cut. You know that about me. So, yes, I love that.
I thought you would enjoy that. I'm not saying the Baylor game is going to be easy. I'm just saying it's at home.
Yeah.
You got two home games and a road game against a bum, the worst team in the conference, Oklahoma State. You win those three, Mitch, you're in the tournament as a guaranteed top six seed, I feel like.
Mark Pope would probably scream at us right now, but you could honestly draw up a scenario, Matt, where they don't lose until Kansas,
yeah.
I mean, they could honestly win. They're going to be favored probably in all these games leading up to Kansas 2 weeks from tomorrow. So this is a huge stretch for BYU, and what's exciting too, and I don't think anyone's in Cougar Nation's thinking of the race like this, but they're only two games out of the Big 12 title race. Houston's, I think, the number one team in this league, the way that they actually win on the road, and they're just they lean into their identity where they're going to be a team that just suffocates you on the glass, and they always get the clutch rebounds, but Iowa State, BYU's beat them. I mean, they dominated Iowa State to where the Cyclones are, you know, there was a matchup nightmare going up against BYU for them. So it's just fun. And I think that this UCF game should be a good one. I'm curious to see how Dallin Hall responds after a lackluster performance shooting the ball, but also want to see Trey Stewart again give BYU some valuable minutes coming off the bench, because I think if he can string it together for two consecutive games, that will do a world of good for his confidence moving forward in this stretch where BYU, like you said, and I myself is saying, they could win a lot of these games.
Yeah. You just have to get to 8, I feel like, to be in the tournament. And every win after that is just going to help your case in terms of cementing a seed line. And let's not forget, again, we're getting a little too ahead of ourselves. And as you said, Coach Pope would not like this, but the opportunity to play in Salt Lake, Mitch, is enormous. And that's not an opportunity that comes along very often. It's within reach to be a top six seed playing your opening rounds in the Delta Center. That is big time. And BYU's got to seize the moment, and it starts tomorrow against UCF.
Tip off tomorrow night, 7 o'clock here on KSL. Pre-game gets started up at 6 o'clock. Make sure to follow Matt and I with all of our coverage on KSLSports.com. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you on Monday next week for Cougar Nation here on your legacy home of the Cougars, KSL News Radio.